Of Jesus. Lift those hands high. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Jesus. Jesus. One of the greatest things for us in these conferences is that climate. That climate of hunger for God. That climate of revival. That climate of passion. It's like a refueling. Lift it high. Just whisper that name. Jesus. In the second day, he will revive us. There is a reviving happening right now. A refueling happening right now. A refiery happening right now. Receive! That's right, that's right, that's right. There is a refreshing happening right now. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Receive it now! Something! Yes, 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 yes. Dryness is disappearing. Dryness is disappearing. Revival is happening. Revival of your spirit. Revival of your prayer altar. Revival of your worship life. Revival of fasting. Revival of evangelism. Revival in prayer. Receive his visitation. Revival visitation. Revival visitation. Receive it now. Thank you, Master.
Ooh. revelation of your glory. Let a ray of your glory fall.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. I know your life can never remain the same. I know mine can never remain the same. We are the threshold of a mighty move of God in our lives, in our families, in our nation, in our generation. And no devil can stop it. With your hands and give him the praise.
Let away of your glory cover us. Let alone of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign us. Let the way of your glory, let the way of your glory fall.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. With your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Take your seat.
And I enter to the Holy of Holies. I enter to the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, Holy. I enter to honor you. I enter to the Holy of Holies. I enter to the blood. I enter to worship you. To honor I am, and Lord, I worship you. I worship you, Lord.
Step into the word, because we might actually continue in this kind of frequency permanently. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Raising and rising by grace, - Secrets of Grace, Part 1. Our objective is to understand just straight away the secrets of grace. Yesterday, we saw the first part of the impact of grace. I decided to interrupt it before we go to the second part to look at the secrets of grace. And we saw the impact of grace yesterday. Probably you can help us to review the impact of grace that we dealt with last night. What grace does for us. That grace makes great. That grace is key to speed. And that grace brings ease. And grace is key to the gifts we need to operate in. Grace gives a man a voice. Grace gives strength. Capacity to stand is a product of grace. Okay, we stopped there last night. Now we are going to be going forward now to the secrets of grace. Many people like to flow in grace. But not many people know the way or the path of grace. The grace for salvation is free. But there are secrets to the growth and the multiplication of grace. And we're going to look at some of these secrets today. And number one is the life of prayer. Like we just heard. We said yesterday that the throne of God is the throne of grace. Is the headquarter of grace. The altar of prayer is the headquarter of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. He said, come, therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Gracefulness is a product of prayerfulness. And gracelessness is the outcome of prayerlessness. Show me a man, a woman of prayer. I will show you a man, a woman of grace. Paul the Apostle was a man of grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 10, Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, grace. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8, Paul the Apostle said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So without any contradiction, prevarication or equivocation, Paul the Apostle carried grace. And what was his secret? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 18. Paul the Apostle said, he said, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. You know how to speak in tongues abundantly, you will speak in grace abundantly. I speak in tongues more than you all. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Paul speaking said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Every carrier of grace is a person of prayer. One man of God by the name Smith Wigglesworth was asked, how long do you pray? He said, well, I may not be able to tell you how long I pray at a stretch, but I can tell you that you won't catch me any 30 minutes without praying. 30 minutes. He must whisper a prayer to God within 30 minutes interval. John G. Lake, what is your prayer life like? John G. Lake said, I pray as I run and I run as I pray. Everything is prayer and prayer is everything. God's servant pastor E.A. Adeboye is prayer machine, prayer personified. God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo, prayer. The foundation of that ministry was 20-something months of fasting and prayer before the ministry started. He fasted one day until he began to vomit blood at the beginning of the ministry. My communicator. Any spirituality that deprives you of prayer deprives you of grace. The reason why there is so much bankruptcy of grace in our generation is because preachers are plenty, but prayer people are few. And it is easy to learn how to teach or to preach. It's easy. They learn it. Hallelujah. I prophesy on someone today the fresh baptism of the spirit of prayer. If you are receiving this child, the loudest amen. If you are receiving this child, the loudest amen. You are receiving the fresh baptism of the spirit of prayer. Shout the loudest amen. Number two qualification for grace is the state of helplessness. Helplessness. The helplessness of man positions him for gracefulness from God. Helplessness. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16 we already read. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help, help, which means he was helpless. The helplessness of man provokes the almightiness of God. The helplessness of man attracts the almightiness of God. He attracts the almightiness of God. Attracts the almightiness of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 8 and 9, Paul the apostle speaking, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. It is the insufficiency of man that compels the all-sufficiency of God. My grace is sufficient for you. The insufficiency of man compels tells the all-sufficiency of God. My grace is sufficient for you. It is the weakness of man that commands the power of God. Most people, it is their powerfulness, their sense of powerfulness, that deprives them of the almightiness of God. They feel too powerful. They act too powerful. So God leaves them alone to their power. His grace is perfected in weakness. Someone say amen. I told this story before. It was in Makurdi. We went for a program. And then I overworked myself, so naturally I overslept overnight. When I woke up in the morning, I realized it was already time to go for the meeting. Time to go for the meeting. Time to pray was almost zero. Time to even prepare the message was almost zero. Literally poured water on my body, jumped into the car, and was praying inside the car. And then writing the message inside the car. Lord, just have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I felt so helpless. By the time I stepped into the meeting, I saw results that preparation couldn't have produced. Blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing. All manner, the word was a blast. On my way back in the car, I said to God, what happened? I know I didn't prepare. I know I didn't pray as I should. I know I didn't study as I should. He said, when I saw your helplessness, then I arrived in almightiness. He said, your helplessness attracted my almighty. God is the way he is attracted to the rejected. He is also attracted to the helpless. Don't overclaim power. Don't overclaim power. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. Of my own, I have no power of my own. Oh Lord, I confess to you, Holy Spirit of the Lord. I have no power. And I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean. I am learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. You know the secret of Catherine Kuhlman? Helplessness. You heard Robert Leardon the other day when he came here and talked about the God's generals and said the one that struck him the most was Catherine Kuhlman. And that Catherine Kuhlman will stand on the altar here and the same concentration of power you feel in front, you will feel at the end of the wall there. The same intensity all the way to the back. It's from her crusade that you can see 50 wheelchairs emptied at once. Terrible paralyzed people. She said she has never been confident of herself.
Because when she was born with nothing but a little hair, red fur in the middle. She will weep and weep and weep before services start. Lord, please, I will need you to help me today. I will need you to help me today. I will need you to help me in this. He said, even up till the point she stepped on the pulpit and takes the microphone, she is still not sure of anything. She is still not sure of anything. She cannot use what happened the last time to claim that she expects another thing. Lord, help me afresh. And then after the service, she will remain in the back of the altar, the room at the back, and be crying. If she sees some people going back on wheelchair, somebody going back still on crutches, she will be crying. He said, Lord, is there something I did that made this one not to be healed? That was her helplessness. Now, the helplessness worsened after she made the mistake and married a man that was married before. And everybody abandoned her. Invitations dropped. Churches were not inviting her anymore. Nobody invited her anymore. She said she felt like dying. Above all, the man she thought she loved abandoned her. The same man. So she was on the street, end of the street one day. She was just walking. Didn't know where she was going. On the street. And then the street ended. It was a close. And dead end. She called it dead end. She said, Lord, I am at the dead end right now. And I am now at the end of myself. See me, I am nothing. Everybody thinks I am nothing. Lord, can you use nothing? If ever you can use nothing, please pick this nothing. That was how God picked that nothing. Who came to the end of the street, dead end. God picked her and used her to shake a world. Shake a generation. Presidents of nations begged to see her. She flew private jet literally permanently. Not that she bought. Private jet owners will consider it a privilege for her to fly their jet. Many of us think we are something. That is why grace is lacking. Lord, can you use a nothing? Here is one. I have found a place where I can pour my heart. I have found a place where I can be myself. A place where I can have no secret to hide. A place where I am still safe. Second verse. After it all, I have found a place where I can find true love. I have found a place where I can be valued. A place where my mistakes don't become my end. A place where I am not judged based on my past. Take that again. I have found a place where I can find true love. I have found a place where I can be valued. A place where my mistakes don't become my end. A place where I am not judged. That was what happened to Catherine Coleman. And with you, Lord, I can be naked.
another share with you, Lord. I can be open and have no fear, for I found in you a friend that I can trust. That is why you will remain my great physician. With you, Lord, with you, Lord, I can be open. With you, Lord, with you, Lord, I can be open and have no fear. For I found in you a friend that I can trust. That is why. That is why.
One more time.
Sing with you, Lord. You can not be to all. With you, Lord, open and have mercy. For I found in you, for I found in you, a friend that I can trust. That is why
you will remain my great friend.
That was Catherine Coleman. And that helplessness qualified her for grace that this generation cannot recover from, the state of helplessness. Even if you think you are powerful, even if people think you are powerful, go before God and let Him know that you are nothing without Him. That leads us to the third one. It's almost this close to the second one, but it's different. It is called the character of humility. They are side by side. The character of humility. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 33 is a qualification for grace. Alright, James 4, 6 first. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34, rather, he said, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. He giveth grace. Humility is a facilitator of grace. It facilitates grace. Pride is the limitation of grace. It facilitates grace. The humblest of men are the most engraced of men. Humblest. They are the most engraced of men. Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 3, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Exodus 12:3. 11:3.
And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. The man Moses was very meek. The man Moses was very great. And you know that greatness is a function of grace. That was Moses. What about Joseph? In Genesis chapter 41, verse 15 to 16, we saw the humility of Joseph. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamt a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand the dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Don't allocate me any glory. I don't know how to interpret dreams. It is only God who can give a man the interpretation. When God saw the way Joseph spoke, he gave him the whole of Egypt. What of Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. Solomon. And now, O Lord, Solomon speaking said, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Nothing destroys like pride. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8, we saw the humility of Paul the apostle. He said, unto me who I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? If I consider myself bigger than others, I won't see the grace. But since I am less than the least of all saints, this grace is given. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10. Paul the apostle also speaking there. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. I am less than all of them, but I carried more grace. Am I communicating? Beloved, arrogance is a killer of grace. Killer. I learned a lot from history. I heard the story of a man very close to God's servant, Papa Bishop Oyedepo. Then, at the beginning of ministry, this man was so anointed with utterance and with impact and everything. He considered himself his equal, even though he was meant to be under his ministry. One day they called him, he said, calm down. This your pride will destroy you. He answered, let it destroy me. It destroyed him. He didn't survive it. It destroyed him. It destroyed him so much that during the dedication of Faith Tabernacle in 1999, one pastor was telling me how he saw the man afar looking for where to sit. That the GO told the story of a man they used to call Baba Ibadan, who was big, was under his father in the Lord's ministry. Mega. All of a sudden, something entered his head. He took off from the church, took off with crowd. He said he broke his father in the Lord's heart because the man was highly valued. This man went all the way like this. The grace dried up. He said at the man's funeral, they couldn't count 50 people.
One man was so anointed. He stood on the pulpit in South Africa. He said, the world is now under my feet. He was a specialist in raising people from wheelchairs. He was anointed to deal with cripples, paralysis. That was his last crusade. Because the world is only under the feet of Jesus, the Master. He returned back from that crusade, never to return to any crusade anymore. Died from a wheelchair. Nothing kills grace like pride. Anytime people begin to praise you, they are trying to kill you. They are trying to kill grace. But we know that, well, there are many pastors, but your own is different. You are different. You know, let's say the truth. Even within the commission, we all know, you are different. He enters the head. Is God speaking to anybody here? I heard a story recently that shook me. It was a story of a man by the name Richard Ngidi. The associate of Reinhard Bonnke at the beginning of ministry. This man, Bonnke, had zero miracle ministry. They were a team, tag team. Bonnke would preach. Then Richard would step up and pray, and all manner of incredible miracles began to happen. Yeah, that was how they functioned. The cripples will walk, blind will see, the lame will do this, and then the altar call will be done. It was Reinhard Bonnke ministry. But Richard was his associate. The team was powerful and formidable. Yes. Bonnke didn't pray for headache. It was Richard's assignment to pray for headache, to pray for anything. One day, Richard told one of Bonnke's associates, he said, you know I am the brain behind this ministry. He said, the day I leave this ministry will be the end of this ministry. That's what he said with this man. The day I leave this ministry, that is the end. I'm sure you all know that. It came from his mouth. How will you know him? Myself, I only knew him about 2 months ago. That I knew the story. So one day, there was a major crusade about to hold. Bonnke had arrived, and he refused to arrive. He deliberately refused to arrive, so that they can see what will happen if he's not there. To frustrate the crusade. Bonnke waited and waited and waited and waited. Richard did not come. What will I do today? Oh Lord, please help me. That was how he stepped to the altar. Preached and boom! Miracles erupted everywhere. In the absence of Richard, miracles erupted anywhere, everywhere. So what he thought was the end of Bonnke's ministry, if he didn't come, became the beginning. Something is starting in somebody's life. It was the beginning of Bonnke's ministry. Boom! That was God said, really, Richard? You thought that you are the one helping Bonnke? Let me show you my almightiness. That was how Richard ushered himself out of destiny. Ushered himself out of ministry. After all, I'm the one performing the miracle. And it is Bonnke, people know. I mean, it's Bonnke that has the name of the ministry. Many, many, many years later, Richard came to the crusade ground of Bonnke and sat and stood at the edge of the crowd.
Saw multitudes everywhere.
He went to Bunky after the crusade. Says, sir, I missed it. 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 And then left. I don't know the end of Richard till tomorrow. Nobody knows. I called Bunky's crusade director. I said, are you aware of this story? He said, That Bunky tells them the story permanently of how people should beware of pride, of how people should know that without them God can walk. He said it's a story he will never forget. On a permanent basis, he tells them, without you, God can walk. Without you, God can walk. Can you help me tell somebody, say, calm down. God can use any other person apart from you. He only decided to use you in his own favor. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. I believe that if I stop here at this moment, see what the crusade director said to me. He said, Bunky narrated this with pain and disappointment on the part of this powerful man of God. All this happened because of pride. Without me, God cannot accomplish his intentions and purpose. And this man was an African man. Powerful preacher carrying powerful unction that had a German European depend on his miracle ministry as a team. Somebody just told me now, why didn't we know him? You won't know him. You will never know him. He giveth grace to the humble. Every time people praise you, every time they celebrate you, don't ever forget that there is someone without whom you will be nothing. The character of humility. Number four. So, if I am looking for grace, the life of prayer, the state of helplessness, the character of humility. Number four is sincere love for God. Sincere love for God. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 24. He said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Being sincere with God. Being real. Being authentic is key to grace. Being sincere with God. Being real. Being authentic is key to grace. It's the way to grace. Shun everything that is fake. Shun everything that is insincere. Shun everything that is dishonest. Shun it. Shun it. It kills grace. There are many people in ministry and in other aspects of life that disconnected themselves from the grace of God by insincere operations. The day we will manipulate and orchestrate a miracle that did not happen, that will be our last day on the earth. Did you hear what I just said? The day we will organize and orchestrate a miracle that didn't happen, that will be the last day of both ministry and earth. Did you know the implication of what I just said? Did you hear the implication of what I just said? The day we will make a miracle that did not happen look like it happened. Manufacture something. Cook up something that says this is a testimony and it is not. That is our last day both of ministry and last day both on the earth. It's not possible to make God mightier than He is. He's the Almighty. There is no use trying to make it appear like He did it when He hasn't done it. Am I communicating? We hear of fake people. People, dubious people, occultic kind of people to our ministry who orchestrate miracles and all those kind of things. The tragedy is when a real called man of God begins to function like that. I heard a story of a man. He would jack somebody up, come purposely stand up out of the wheelchair. And when he jacks the man up, before he can take one or two steps, the cameraman has snapped the stand and the wheelchair just snapped everything, and then the man returns back and sits down or something like that. Just stand up. What is that? Be real. I've seen people tell stories. I preached a message sometime and somebody took the message and preached it, including the testimony I shared in the message, as a testimony that happened to him. That's worse than plagiarism. You can take it and not share the testimony. You can preach the message. He took it and preached the message and preached the testimony. Some time ago, I went so and so. I prayed for so and so person and so on. Inside the message. Sometimes when they air some of our testimonies, I will tell him. I say, do you have the phone call of the phone number of this person that I'm watching? Call them to confirm that this testimony is still valid. Did you hear what I just said? Call the people just to reconfirm that what is being shown as testimony remains. And let that continue as a practice. Do you know that somebody was confronted out of this country, not in Nigeria now, somewhere outside this country, when they showed the testimony of somebody who has already died? And it became an issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, this person was healed on so and so, and he still died of the same thing later. Anything can happen. A healing can happen on the spot, and that healing is maintained for a while, and for one reason or the other, the affliction returned. It's not the responsibility of the preacher whether the affliction remains or goes. It's not his responsibility. It's not his responsibility anymore. So it's not his fault whether it returned back. Am I coming? Yeah, he did his work. He did this work. And also the beneficiary is not immortal like the person said. Am I communicating? But if grace must function, there is no need for insincerity, especially as it pertains to the acts of God. We tell people, check yourself and go back to the same doctor who saw you and let him confirm your healing. Oh yes. The other thing I said, they should One came from Mina and said her womb was damaged, or she has no womb. She did an abortion and the womb was removed or something, and she now has a child. I told him, I said, follow, confirm from the hospital that did the surgery. Mm-hmm. Go to that. Let's confirm from that hospital that that happened. Yes. Now, well, I'm not saying that because, now, there may be mistakes here and there. And no matter how much you try to watch these things, you cannot have control over everything. Am I communicating? You won't be able to have control. But as much as it lies in our power, as much as it lies in our power, let us be sure that we are dealing in the things we are doing sincerely. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Go on. All right. 2 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Not dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word deceitfully. Somebody say aloud, amen. So sincere love for God, and now there are two things there, is sincere and then love. Now the love dimension says that our love for God must be real. So if you are sincere and then you love God above everything, you love God passionately. We sing a song, Lord, you know that my love for you is so real. Lord, you know, search me, Lord, and see my sincere love for you. Sincere love for God. Sincerity with God and love for God is critical to ministry. That's number four. Number five is the character. I think I'll end there today. The character of generosity. Our giving increases grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8, he said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Every man according as his purpose set in his heart. After you have done that, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All sufficiency, all grace abounds. Generosity is key to grace. Givers never lack grace. Giving is a major secret of grace. Two dangerous givers in the Old Testament, David and Solomon, walked in grace, the equivalent of what you might call grace or favor with God, more than anybody in the Old Testament. I know of people like God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo, one day, after they have given to us a particular project at the beginning of their ministry, and they were still asking in their council. And he said to them, he said, you know what? All of you know that if I have anything anymore, I will give all of it. He said, everything I have given. Except you want to sell me myself now. That is, it's only me, my body now I can give. And he said, now that we are all at the same level. Because he knew that some people had and they were keeping back what they had. But he gave everything. Let it be clear to you. A time will come, we'll take off in the air. And some people will say, we don't even know what they are using. I'll tell you what I'm using. Give it. One day, Benny Hinn had a most frustrated experience during a crusade. Terrible crusade. Crowds scanty, signs and wonders scanty, everything scanty. It was what you would call a major failure. And he went to the hotel room to God and he said, Lord, what is happening? And he said, God told him, you know those rural pastors, like 90 or 100 of them, that you were paying their salary, those rural missionaries. He said, you stopped it. It's responsible for what you are experiencing. That is, there was a grace made available by that act of generosity towards those people. Stopping that act, stopping that generosity affected your results. Listen, it doesn't matter that you are a pastor. Don't just exist as a getter. Be a giver. Don't just function as a receiver. Be a giver. My wife and I, we have given things to people. People who are millionaires, people who are billionaires. And they will say, this is the first time a pastor is giving them something. That is when people see them, they expect to receive from them. In fact, some say this is the first time anybody is giving them anything. First time. Let it not be so. My wife has told me, she said, I don't know of the kind of grace you desire you didn't get. Because giving is like water by his mercies. God needs it, except I don't have it. God needs it, except I don't have it. During this construction, we flattened two mega accounts. Accounts we've been saving, putting money into for years. Except God didn't need it. It's key to grace. I believe it's a new day for somebody. If you don't withhold anything from God, God will not withhold any grace from you. Note it. If you don't withhold anything from God, God will not withhold any grace from you. He said God will make all grace abound. All. If you won't withhold anything from God, God will not withhold any grace from you. If you won't withhold anything from God, God will not withhold any grace from you. All grace. He will make all grace abound. Hallelujah. I welcome you today to this journey of grace. I will stop here and we'll take it forward tomorrow morning in the second part of these secrets. But I like us, embrace the life of prayer, this state of helplessness, the state of character of humility, sincere love for God. You know what the Bible said? If any man offend not in word, they say the same is a perfect man. Sincerity is not just in action but in words. Do you know there are people who may carry the microphone and battle with truth? battle with telling the truth. Either things to make impression, to create impression, or just battle with truth. I've had experiences where the guy said this and it is totally wrong, untrue. Very, very important that we function in that sincere love for God. And finally, is the character of generosity. Without any doubt, I believe that somebody is on the highway of grace. Somebody is about to experience the kind of grace you have not experienced before. And if you are that person, you will stand up with a loud shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The loudmost shout of praise. Would you lift up your hands everywhere you are? Lift your hands and lift up your voice. And just give the Lord the praise. Give Him the praise for what you have received today. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. We are going to take these points to 2 minutes, after which we shall proceed to the next level. Lift up your voice, your hands and your voice, and say, Father, I ask today for the baptism
of the spirit
of prayer
grace
for intercession
I receive
in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands and tell the Lord and say, Oh Lord, I am helpless. In myself. I am sorry. If I ever acted like I am powerful. Without you, Lord, I want you to know that I am helpless. Completely helpless. Father, if you can use someone that is helpless, that is nothing in himself, in themselves, then I am available. Use me, Lord, to your glory, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Let us go to the pain.
In Jesus' precious name.
1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. So humility is something you can wear. How many of you know when you see a really humble person, you just see it on them? Father, dress me with humility. Let it swallow every garment of pride, arrogance, ostentation. Lift your voice and say, Father,
I ask
that you will dress me and clothe me with humility. Let it swallow up every garment of pride, of arrogance in my life. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God.
In Jesus' precious name,
lift your hands and say, Father,
help me to be sincere
with you.
Help me to be sincere
in all that I do.
Say, Father,
I am sorry
for any act
of insincerity,
of dishonesty
in time past.
Have mercy
on me, Lord.
Give me another chance
to be sincere,
to be honest,
to be truthful
in my dealings,
in my actions,
in my utterances.
Help me, Lord,
with the grace
to be sincere.
In the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and speak to God.
Let's In Jesus' precious name.
Lift up your hands and finally, Father,
I receive
the
grace
for generosity.
The grace
of generosity.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus,
I receive
that grace
right now.
Help me, Lord,
to live
that life
of generosity
towards
the kingdom
and in
my generation.
I receive
that grace, Lord,
in the name of
Jesus.
Open your mouth and
speak.
In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, Master, for hearing, and thank you for answering. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. We magnify your precious, holy, and wonderful name. Be thou glorified in Jesus' name. With the hands lifted up, if you are here today and you are in need of surrender to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day for you, you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ yet, pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly rush to the front here and let us receive you. Pick up your Bibles, pick up your bags. You need to give your life to Christ. You want your sins forgiven. I'll give you the count of seven. Quickly rush forward. One. The rest of us, please take your seat while they come forward. Two. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone.
Three. Four.
Have your way, Lord.
Everybody sing.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you.
Every moment I'm away.
Every moment on my way.
Everybody see.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my
soul. I give you my soul. I live for you.
Every
moment on my way.
Every moment
on my way.
Have your way.
want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want today to mark a new day for you. You want to be genuinely and truthfully born again. You want to be free from addictions, from smoking, from drinking, from masturbation, from prostitution, from anything like that. Pick your Bible, pick your bags, and quickly rush to the front and let us pray for you. Anyone like that. I'll give you another count of seven and don't sit on your seat. Fraud, gambling, and anything that has taken the control of your life, you are battling with living right. Quickly come forward. One.
Goodbye, world. Stay no longer with you. My pleasures have fled. Stay no longer with you. Made up my mind. Go that way for the rest of my life. Made up my mind. Go that way for the rest of my life.
Goodbye, 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 world. Goodbye, world.
Place your right hand on your chest, all of you standing, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you all. I declare the hold of sin broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.